Social Security, and Medicare. No debate has so focused on America's potential future indebtedness as that involving Social Security and Medicare, including the enormous projected costs of prescription drugs. To ensure the future of Social Security through 2080 or thereabouts, it is broadly agreed that something like $3.7 trillion must be injected into the system. Optimists, however, cite the Social Security Administration's own analysis that it will be able to pay all the promised benefits through 2042 and three-quarters of them thereafter. Medicare and the prescription drug program, in turn, are estimated to require another $30 trillion to be adequately funded for another 75 years. The idea of funding for a 75-year projection seems odd. The Pentagon has not guesstimated the burden of World War III or 2.63 regional wars over the next half century, and the Energy Department has not weighed in on how to deal with annual oil import deficits likely to hit $500 billion per year by 2015. The Treasury has not projected the cost of a debt and credit implosion if one of those bubbles pops. One major skeptic of the crisis over Social Security, Merton Bernstein, staff director of the 1983 Social Security Commission, dismisses long-term projections as unreliable. Is there an economist or financial advisor who's going to tell you what's going to happen between right now and the end of the year? So why do we know that in 2042, the Social Security Trust Fund will have been used up? Part of the reason that Social Security has been such a priority for policymakers involves the near-term desire of elements of the financial services industry to privatize it, in whole or, more likely, in part. George W. Bush, who as governor of Texas had privatization targets that originally even included the University of Texas, spent political capital in 2005 on an unsuccessful proposal to partially replace Social Security with private accounts. By some calculations, the Treasury would have had to borrow some $2 trillion to implement the plan, and the system's long-term viability would not have been addressed. Privatization was the fundamental objective. The Social Security system, which presently enjoys an annual surplus of $150 billion per year, had already been enlisted in one finance-related recalculation. For many years, the system's surplus has been counted to reduce the actual federal budget deficit by that same amount. Thus, while the 2004 federal budget deficit was officially published at $412 billion, the true deficit was $567 billion, with the Social Security surplus being used as an offset. It is not quite fair to say that the effect of this bookkeeping has been to encourage higher deficits, but the blurring involved is definitely bond market friendly. If all of a sudden the U.S. budget deficit was admitted to be $150 billion higher, one can imagine the tenor of the meetings that would be convened by central banks in Tokyo, Beijing, Seoul, and Taipei. After all is said and done, of course, the private sector forces that have interests in Social Security privatization or its use in deficit camouflage also make a telling point. The resources needed to support the outlays presently projected could start falling short between 2018 and 2042. Liberals say that the problem could be avoided by ending the upper bracket-focused tax cuts enacted since 2001. Because these are projected to cost $11 trillion over 75 years, their elimination would more than pay for the $4 trillion Social Security needs over that period. If one can be computed, presumably the other can. But the inevitable political battle is not likely to produce that kind of simple choice.